We're Christians. We're on our way to heaven. We got the city of gold waiting on us.
Yep.
Amen. Let's turn to John chapter 6 tonight. And I want to give you a little truth here from the Word of God. Remember all these that are not able to be out here tonight. Eric just had surgery. Megan just had a baby. They're having a hard time. I guess the baby's taking care of both of them. Others, you know, Brother Ray's really having a hard time too, y'all. He's been sick. Man, I'm telling you, he loves the church and loves the Lord, and he wouldn't miss for nothing in the world, but he's been sick. So let's remember him in prayer also. John chapter number 6. I want to show you a verse of scripture here tonight and bring you a message just very quickly tonight, and you can go get you ice cream. John chapter 6 and verse 38. John chapter 6 and verse number 38. For I came down, Jesus said, from heaven,
yep,
not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Jesus said, I came down here. I didn't come down here to do what I want to do. I came down here to do what the Father wanted me to do. I want to preach tonight on this little thought. Some things Jesus would not do. Some things Jesus would not do. You say, Brother Danny, how do you know what he'd do and what he wouldn't do? I'm going to show you from the Bible some things Jesus would not do. Now, we judge people by what they do or say. That's not always right, but that's human nature. We also judge people by what they refuse to do or say. Sometimes you can judge a person by what they won't do. Man is at a place somewhere at work, and they're turning the wine glasses down like this, and he turns his over like that. That says something about that man. That says, I don't want it. I refuse to do it. You can tell a lot about a person by what they'll do. You can tell a lot about a person by what they refuse to do. And so we're going to look tonight at some things he would not do. Many people claim to be like Jesus, but don't want to follow his steps at all. Like that guy said years ago, when everybody, all the kids, young people won't be a hippie, this boy, he had his hair long, you know, and he wore blue jeans and everything. And he always said, because I'm being like Jesus, Daddy, I'm being like Jesus. He said, I want to be like Jesus. He didn't want to be like Jesus. He wanted to be a hippie. He wanted to be like the Rolling Stones or the Beatles or somebody. And but he as always, his excuse, I want to be like Jesus. Sandals, dirty feet, old blue jeans wore out, long, straggly hair. And one day, he come in and he said, Daddy, I want to borrow the car tonight. And Daddy said, nope, can't do it. He said, why? He said, because I want to go to town with my friends. He said, well, I'm not going to let you. He said, well, get that haircut. He said, well, Jesus had long hair. And his daddy said, yeah, he walked everywhere he went, too. And see, he wanted that car. He didn't want to be like Jesus. He didn't want to be like Jesus. A lot of people say they want to be like Jesus, and they want to use the parts of his life for their own personal advantage. So tonight, I want to say just a few things tonight, quickly, real quickly. This warm weather is just something this time of year, isn't it? And it's hard to believe. Staying daylight, it's almost 8:30, and I love it. And so quickly tonight, you can go get you an ice cream. Number one, Jesus would not, are you listening? Jesus would not miss the worship services of his day. He would not. He would not miss the worship services of his day. You say, where do you get that, preacher? The Bible says, as his custom was, he went into the temple on the Sabbath day, where they were gathering together to worship God in his day and time, he went. Don't you give me this baloney about how much you love the Lord and you're right with God and you're healthy and won't go to church. I mean, I talked to a guy the other day, running to him up the garage, and I talked to him, and he'd been saved a couple of years ago, boy. I talked to him a few times. He'd been here a few times. And I said, where are you going to church at? And he said, nowhere. I said, why not? He said, I've found out some stuff. And he said, I found out the churches are all wrong. He said, and when you hear somebody saying that, you know they done got into some false doctrine. And he said, I found out they're all wrong. He said, I just go around to people's houses and we study the Bible a little bit. And I said, well, how do you teach that verse that says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together? And he looked at me and said, well, you know, I have a point there. I said, listen, God wants you to go to church. Listen, there ain't no doubt in my mind God wants us to go to church. We're supposed to gather together with Christians. We're supposed to meet together with God's people. We get strength off each other. When we sing together, we read the Bible together. You don't realize it, but you've already been helped a little bit spiritually by just being here tonight. That song, them song they sung, that was tremendous. We take that for granted. But listen, press on. Yeah, the Lord will help you. That's what you get for going to church. You don't get that. One man says, I don't go to no church. I go fishing on Sunday. And I just go out there and sit on the riverbank. Yeah, and he don't teach no verses to no little kids. And he don't learn no little kids no songs. And he don't make to lead no little boy and girl to the Lord in junior church. And he don't get to sing in the choir. And he don't put any tithes and offering. He's just a crook and claiming to be like Jesus. Jesus would not miss the worship services of his day. Now I'm going to tell you, everybody knows me. Everybody here knows Brother Danny. I am a church-going fanatic. I believe you go when you feel like it, and you go when you don't feel like it. I believe, brother, you go when it's hot, and brother, you go when it's cold. You go when it snows so you can get there, and go when it's rough weather. Be in the house of God. You ain't good enough to miss a church service. You ain't holy enough to keep your kids out of a Bible preaching church service. You ain't living right enough to keep your family out of church. You need every bit of this you can possibly get, and also come to be a blessing to everybody else. Jesus would not miss the services of his day. Amen. Ever get that she's hollering a little boy one time, or a son, and he's up under the bed crying. She said, get out of there. It's time to go to church. You know, and he said, I don't want to go to church. She said, get out of there. Time to go to church, son. Come on. Sunday morning, let's go. He said, I don't want to. She said, I'm going to give you three reasons why you better get up under that bed right now and go to church. She said, what? She said, number one, it's Sunday and the Lord wants us to go to church. Number two, you're 43 years old. Number three, you're the pastor. Amen. And yes, and I felt like that before. I'm the pastor and I felt like that before. Have you ever just felt like, amen, brother, thank you. There's one good man backing me up here this evening. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes you don't feel like going, but after you go and the song starts going, and after you go and the hands start shaking, and after you go and the spirit starts moving, you walk out that door saying, praise God, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
Work on that a little bit. One, two, three.
Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus would not miss the services of his day. But I'm telling you, I like Billy Kelly said. He said, listen, I'm going to church. It don't make no difference what. If old sister so-and-so don't like it, I'm going anyway. Somebody said, I go in and sit down beside 99 demons and say, scoot over. I'm coming to worship God. This is my Father's house. I belong here. You ain't going to keep me out. By God's grace, the devil ain't going to keep me out. If I can make it, I'm going to the house of God and worship the Lord. Say amen. Amen. Jesus would not miss the worship services of his day. I'm telling you, Brother Faith, if they ain't a cow in Texas, they ought to be, every one of us ought to be in the house of God next Sunday morning. Number two, you know what Jesus would not do? Let me tell you something else Jesus would not do. He would not yield to the devil. Jesus would not yield to the devil. So when we yield to the devil, we're being unlike Jesus. People say, well, I don't live like Jesus, and get into the devil every two or three hours on something, and gossip on the phone, or cuss, or lie, or steal, or do something immoral, or take something that's not yours, or do something that's not right. You ain't being like Jesus. Jesus would not give in to the devil. He resisted the devil. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 4, all the way down through there, the devil said, come turn the stone into bread. The Lord said, nope. The devil said, cast yourself off this mountain. The Lord said, no. He said, well, get down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdom of the world. The Lord said, no. He would not give in to the devil. Now remember, you're being like Jesus when you don't give in to the devil. You don't get into the devil. Ladies, when you're sitting at home by yourself, the devil's going to start talking to you. And he's going to put all kind of crazy stuff in your head. And you're going to start thinking this, start thinking that. You better get your Bible out and get that thing down and look at it and say, God, help me to resist the devil. Men, while you're at work or you're out, the devil's going to tempt you. He's going to put all kinds of things out there in front of you. The devil's got a million things out there he'll put right in front of you. You know what? You better make up your mind. Get your Bible out. God, help me. By the way, you know how the Lord resisted the devil? By the Word of God. Not by his willpower. Man said one time, he said, I'm not like Danny. He said, Danny's got a lot of willpower. And I do, but I don't have enough to, resist the devil. I do have a lot of willpower. I do have a lot of grit. I got backbone, but I ain't enough. I ain't no match for the devil. The only way I can resist the devil is through the Word of God and say, Lord, help me. I resist the devil, no devil. How many of you don't have to raise your hand, have been doing something or home or something, and you know the devil's putting stuff in your head or heart, and you have to say, get out of here, leave me alone. Let's see if I can say this without somebody... Oh my goodness, it's so hard. If I was in the Bible, I'd just say whatever. But everybody here knows you, I know you, and you know me. Well, and if somebody's going to say, well, he's talking about me. That's why he's easier to preach revival than his home church. Because I know all y'all sins and everything like that. But let's just say this. Let's just say that had something bad in your past, let's just say. And you know good and well ain't nothing you can do about it. Maybe it was a sin. And you asked the Lord to forgive you, and you got over it, and you got past it. Well, all of a sudden one day, the devil brings it up. And you just start thinking about it. And you start stewing over that thing. And it starts bothering you. And it starts just eating at you, and eating at you, and eating at you. Now you know that ain't the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost don't bring up sins, yours or anybody else's, and torture you with them. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
You know God don't do that. It's the devil. And you know what you got to do? You just got to say, devil, I'm not thinking like that. The Bible said whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, think on these things and rebuke the devil and he shall flee from you. Listen, Jesus would not yield to the devil. Well, let me say also tonight, number three, Jesus would not, listen, be moved by flattery. Jesus would not be moved by flattery. Amen? He wouldn't let people flatter. In John chapter 3 and verse 2, Nicodemus came to him, and Nicodemus, big shot, one of the biggest shot. It would be like the Pope or somebody coming to you now there, and he said, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Now, the temptation for a preacher would be to say, oh, thank you so much. Boy, I'd like to have your tithes in our church. You can buy buses and everything. You know what the Lord said? You must be born again. See, you didn't let flattery get him. Beware. As a matter of fact, you got to be careful if people want to flatter you all the time. I got them. I got people who want to cut my guts out, and I got people who want to flatter me, and I'm leery of both of them.
Yeah.
Both of them led by the devil. I just one man, I'm not going to name no names, in another state. He'd call me once in a while, and he'd say, Danny Castle, he said, you wouldn't believe how he'd do me. You're the next Billy Graham. I don't want to be the next Billy Graham. He said, I've never heard nobody preach that. And the whole time he's saying that, my flesh liked it, but inside something is saying, what is a man doing that? You know what the Bible says? He that flattereth his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. When somebody brags on you that much, they're wanting something back for it. They want support, or they want some kind of money, or a favor come back around on the other side. You've got to beware. Now, there's nothing wrong with bragging on stuff. There's nothing wrong with me saying, brother, y'all did a great job a while ago. There's nothing wrong with me bragging on Goldfingers over here. I think she's the greatest piano player. I'm telling you, she's great. Nothing wrong with that. Brother Clark, the way he just smooth on that bass. He's smoother than some of them guys that played in the 60s. There's nothing wrong with bragging on something and complimenting something. There's nothing wrong with complimenting. Brother Mike, I heard he might appreciate this.
this. The guy from Maryland that sat over here came out this morning. Never seen that guy before in my life. Him and his wife are sitting right here, and they came out and they said, "Great message. I enjoyed that. And your Sunday school teacher was great." That's what he said. I said, "You should hear our regular one. He ain't too hot." No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that, Brother Derek. But he bragged on Brother Mike. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, a word of encouragement will go a long way. It helps people. I'm just talking about these people that just sugar running out of their mouth. And it says, "Oh, you're great." And, "Oh, you're wonderful." I'm weary of people like that. There's something wrong with somebody who wants to flatter you all the time. Ain't none of us that great. Amen? You know, some people just like to be around people that brag on them. But you better get a little balance there and get both ways. Excuse me. Because you ain't as great as you think you are. Amen? Jesus would not be moved by flattery. That's right. Well, number four. Jesus would not quit. Jesus would not quit. I know you're wondering what's wrong with me. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm sick. I know that. But Jesus would not quit. He would not quit. They lied about him. They told everything in the world about him. I was freezing and sweating at the same time or something. I don't know. I ain't been sick in so long. I forgot what I feel like. It's been 20 years since I've been sick. Well, I don't want to get you, man. Stay away from this man right here. If you felt like this for 2 months, Lord, don't say how you made it, brother. But anyway, I got 2 weeks of revivals coming up starting tomorrow night, so I got to get better. Anyway, I'll preach it out by God's grace and run it out tomorrow morning. But I'm telling you, the Lord, you know what the Lord wouldn't do? The Lord would not quit. Would not quit. Listen, you can't, it's like getting a divorce. You know, there's some people say, "Well, I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to stay with him. If he ever does this again, if he ever does that again. Listen, divorce should not enter a Christian's mind unless there's infidelity. If there's infidelity, then God gives you an out. But just because you're mad or miss your mama or something like that, listen, brother, we ought to make up our mind. By God's grace, the Lord saved me. He put me in this church. I'm going to serve him come hell or high water. I'll be there with my family by the grace of God. I'm coming by God's grace, preacher. I'll go that bus route. I'll serve God. I'll do right. I'll put my tithes in that offering plate." But like what old Billy Kelly said, he said, "If I starve to death," and he didn't. He said, "If I starve to death, I'll put my offering plate in there," and he said, "I'll eat a big old bowl of dough and let it swell up in me so the devil won't think I starved to death." Amen. He said, "I'm not going to do it. If we go down, we're going down trusting the Lord. If we go down, we're going down tithing. If we go down, we're going down singing 'Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.' And if we go down, we'll go down shouting the victory." Amen. Thank God tonight, people. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't quit. Be like Jesus. He never quit. It hurts. I imagine that it hurt the Lord when his disciples quit on him. John 6:6-6. Many of them walked back and went no more with him. You know that hurt him. You know it did. And it does. When you're deserted, when you're on a bus route and you got a partner and they quit you, and they say no longer, boy, and you have to go on by yourself and the devil jumps on you and tells you everything in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we got Mother's Day coming up next week, and I forgot to even mention it this morning, but we're planning a big Mother's Day, and I hope everybody's planning on bringing your mom. We're going to have flowers, and I've got a real, real strong message on my heart for Mother's Day and talking about mothers and how God's blessed us with them. Listen, you know, when you see those days, that Easter Sunday, I've been pastoring since I was 23 years old, and this past Easter Sunday was one of the best Easter Sunday services I've ever been in my life. Usually it's dead as 4 o'clock. My Lord, we had a service that morning. I guess it's because it's so close to youth rally. But Jesus would not quit. Number 5. I don't know if I can preach this. I feel like a hypocrite. Jesus would not worry. Now let's move on to number 6. Jesus would not worry. He said in Matthew 6:25, "Take," now listen to this, everybody, ladies, men, take no thought for tomorrow. You tried that? You got no money to pay your bills? Your light bill's a month past due, and you can't pay your car payment, and everything's tearing up? Take no thought. Jesus never one time laid down thinking, how in the world am I going to make it? Not one time. Boy, we're a long way from that, ain't we? Good night. My mom used to call it a worry wart. She says, he ain't nothing but a worry wart. I don't know what that is. This is somebody that worries all the time. And she did her share of it, trust me. She did. And I'm not that bad because I'm more like my daddy. If my daddy ever worried, you didn't know it. Daddy never talked about his problems. He never sat around the house talking about how we're going to pay our bills and all that. Had us all tore up and everything. He taught me how to handle money, and that's good. But he never did. Say like the world's falling, the sky's falling, everything gloom and doom. Daddy always, he'd just sit and stare out the window. He'd set up a coffee, 5:30 in the morning, and drink a cup of coffee and stare out the window. And then whenever he got enough caffeine in him, zoom, he was gone to that night. I reckon that's how he lived. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. He didn't worry. And you know what? You ain't going to put one dime in your pocket sitting around worrying about it. It ain't going to pay your light bill sitting around saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Woe is me. You might as well just say, Lord, you're in control. If he feeds them sparrows out there, all them little birds, every one of them got something to eat. I've never even heard of a bird starving to death. Birds eat, people. Birds eat. The sparrow, he knows the hairs on our head and on your wig, too. I'm glad he knows that. He knows how much your light bill is. And thank God, let's don't worry about it. Let's be like Jesus. That's easy to preach and hard to practice, ain't it? Hard to practice. Number 6, Jesus would not discourage others. I'm sorry, y'all know it's not on the pulpit here. It's off a nice pulpit to rub that on, ain't it? It's got to go somewhere. Number 6, would not discourage others. Luke 7:48 said there was a woman. This woman, they brought him to her, and she's in sin, but I'm telling you, she's wicked as a devil. Caught her in adultery. Caught her in adultery. And they brought her to the Lord. And you know what the Lord said? I cannot believe you. Get her out of here. She has no business in this church. Some of the others said that. I'm not compromising with sin. Throw her out! Bless God. I know a lot of preachers, independent Baptist preachers, that they got it all mixed up. They think you're supposed to hate the sinner. And we're not. We're supposed to hate their sin. We don't hate the sinner. You better hope and pray to God that ain't the way it is. Now, listen, I've heard them get up. I heard a preacher. Ain't nobody here but us tonight. I heard a preacher one time. I was in a big church. And there's two girls come and got saved. They were not dressed properly. Let's put it that way. They were not dressed in church clothes. They was about 14 or 15 years old. And they come down and they got saved. And that preacher stood in that pulpit. He was scared to death. Everybody in there think he was a compromiser. And he said, all right, you girls are saved now. You go home and put you on a decent dress before you come back here. Right in front of the whole church. I'm going to tell you tonight, that ain't like Jesus. Jesus didn't do that. That man was wrong. He was wrong. He's just trying to show everybody how spiritual he was. I've heard him call him out. I heard a preacher say this. Listen to me. Preacher was preaching revival some time ago. And he said there's a man sit back about halfway. And he sat there the whole time he's preaching going, stuck his tongue out at him. And he said it was my natural reaction to rebuke him. He said, I come that close to stopping and saying, get that tongue back in your mouth. You ain't got no more respect than that. Just rebuke him. And I'll be honest with you, that I've had stuff like that happen to me. Trust me, I have. Lord, I've had them make faces at me, Google their eyes, get their watch, shake it. I get up and walk out. It gets in your flesh. And when it was over, that preacher was talking to the pastor. He said, who in the world was that man sticking his tongue out? He said, old preacher, I meant to tell you about him. He said, he comes every Sunday. He said, one of our buses pick him up. He said, that man's got something wrong with him. He's mentally off, and it just comes out by itself. And he said, he don't even realize what he was doing. And he said, I thank God that I didn't make a big scene. Amen. And rebuke that man in front of that whole crowd. And I'm going to tell you something tonight, people. We could all use a little lesson about judging person or people when you've never even been in their shoes. Amen. Preacher, come here. He said, he's at the church. He said, he's up preaching. And this is back. You know, anything liable to come in here nowadays. I mean, we're in a wild society nowadays. But back in the old days, people, everybody come to church in them little mountain churches. They all looked alike. Dressed down to here. I mean, hair, no, hardly no makeup. All the women looked. And he said, there's a woman come in. And he said, she had big old hair. And it come way around here. Like Tammy Faye, and it come way around her face. Like that right there. And just sit back there like that. And he said he was so tempted. He said, I was going to rebuke her. He said, I was going to work it into my message somehow or another. You hussies, you ought to that. You look like a prostitute. He said, I want to rebuke her so bad. And he said, the Lord said, hush. Better hush. Better hush. Before you start rebuking somebody, you better make sure it's the Lord telling you to do it. And as it was over, he told that man, he told the preacher, he said, who in the world was that woman? My Lord, Tammy Faye in here? He said, preacher, he said, that's one of the most godly women in our community. He said, that woman has a huge cancer on the side of her face. She has no hair. She went and bought that wig and put it down there to cover it up. He said, she's not trying to be flamboyant or show off or look like. And that preacher said, thank God I didn't say nothing. That's a lesson for y'all. You better be real careful. Whenever you point your finger at somebody else, there's three pointing back at you. And trust me, it will come back to get you. It will come back to get you. I've seen it over and over and over. There's a lady called me one time. I ain't going to tell you what happened. It was 20 years ago. And she called me and blessed me out. Lord have mercy. She cut me up, all my guts out. And oh my goodness. Her life went downhill from then on. It's pitiful. Pitiful. I told you about that little girl this morning. I can't get her off my mind. Y'all pray for her. Her name's Elizabeth. She's 12 years old. She's 12. I want to say, where in the world's your parents, honey? She's laying in the floor on a mattress in a detox. And she's laying there, and I said, Elizabeth, did you go to church Sunday? And she said, yeah. And I said, what's wrong with her? He said, she hears voices inside of her head. She's hearing demons. 12 years old. I don't know what happened to her. They can't keep her there. You have to be 18 to stay in there, so I guess they sent her off somewhere. You know what Jesus wouldn't do? He wouldn't condemn somebody like that. Discourage others. The last thing I'll say, this is very important. Jesus would not work a miracle for himself. That's an important truth. When he's fasting 40 days, and the devil said, turn that rock right there into bread. I'm telling you, if I could have done that, if I hadn't ate nothing in 40 days, I would make a big soft yeast roll that big and fill it full of butter and just put some grease in it. But he would not work a miracle for his own self-benefit. When he's on the cross, like this, he could have called 10,000 angels, and he stayed on the cross right there. He did not use his power for his own selfish reasons. That's a good example for us, isn't it? There's a lot of things we can do. There's a lot of things you can do that ain't wrong, but ain't smart neither. They're very selfish. Amen? Jesus would not work a miracle for himself. I close tonight by saying this. Some things Jesus would not do. Let's stand by our head for prayer. Every head bowed, never eye closed. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed.